The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition. My name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by not one, but two pundits this afternoon. Firstly, Lord John Budden. How are you, John?
Yeah, hello Mark. Hello, this is all well.
Good. And Mick Norton is the other man. Mick's going to look ahead to some of Tuesday's racing for us. How are you, Mick?
Yes, a little bit in awe of my new surroundings, Mark.
Yes. We've moved to a new studio and it's all slightly different, so we'll just have to see how we get on. The next few days could be interesting to say the least.
Just a bit.
But what we're going to do on this edition is, as always, we'll start with the Monday jury. Lord Budden's going to field those questions for us, and then we're going to look ahead to Tuesday's racing at Catterick. Mick has picked out three races for us there. So first up, the Monday jury, and the first question is, how strong do you think the form of the Racing Post Trophy will prove to be? Both of you can join in, but we'll start with you, John.
Yeah, questionable, I should think, Mark, myself. One must, of course, take into account the fact the ground was appalling. It was very, very deep indeed, and quite a number of the horses didn't run up to form because of it. On the other hand, you would have to say that Kingston Hill was a very impressive winner, was travelling well throughout the contest, and quickened nicely in the closing stages to put more than a little daylight between himself and his pursuers. It was a very good win, and Paul Smith was delighted. You know, he's watched his father's colours carried to so many big race wins that to get one himself was obviously a delight, and you could tell that from the expression on his face and the way he was smiling and speaking with such, you know, tremendous enthusiasm. I thought on the whole, though, getting back to the question, that the Racing Post Trophy was not one of the very best renewals because of the ground. But I do think the winner will go well, and Roger Varian was, you know, pretty certain that ground would not be a factor.
Okay. Yeah, and he just think he might even be better on better ground as well, which is an exciting prospect to have, isn't it? Yeah, I think the form of the race as it stood was strong, but the ground nullified it, didn't it? With Pinzolo not turning up because of the ground, ran no sort of race at all, and Century, another one, didn't handle the ground. Tomo wasn't there, he missed it. So he didn't have much to beat in the end, but the way he did it, visually it was very impressive, and I think he's a proper horse.
Yeah, absolutely, and very good for Andrea Azzini. I've been following him throughout the summer. Great that he should have a Group 1 winner in this country.
Yeah, first Group 1 winner in this country for Roger Varian as well, I think. So good for those people. But I suppose the question will really come out of it when we see Kingston Hill on a better surface in the Classics, because if he has won so impressively, and it turns out it was because of the ground, that's going to it's going to dampen it a little bit, isn't it?
I'm with Mick's remark there. I think Roger Varian was pretty certain this horse will go on all sorts of ground. And his actions suggested to me that he was going through the soft ground, Mark, but that he will be perfectly at home on better, sounder surfaces. I think it's an exciting prospect.
Yes, I agree. And hopefully he's better on better ground, because he could win some good races, couldn't he? The next question is, who is your top fancy for next year's Classics?
Well, I think the Derby's a long way off, and you know, if he actually improves and shows his ability to act on good ground, then Kingston Hill would very much come into the Derby reckoning. As for the 2,000 guineas, well, it seems to be a monopoly for Aidan O'Brien, really, if you take out the great Frankel. And he's got, four of the top runners in the market at the moment. I'm very impressed with Australia, magnificently bred individual. Galileo out of Ouija Board. I mean, you can't really expect better. I thought he was very impressive last time out. Then there's War Command, who people tend to underrate. I fancy War Command one does, you know, just about as much as he wants to do, but what he wants to do is pretty good. As far as I'm concerned, I'm excited about Tor Moor. I think it was a good thing he missed the Racing Post Trophy because of the very soft ground. I once taught at a school called Tor Moor with only one O, so I've always been interested in this horse, but I thought he was very impressive both at Goodwood and particularly in Ireland, and I'd like to hope that he's going to winter well.
And you would think that his trainer's going to have him ready for the guineas as well, isn't he, John?
I would have thought so. I mean, particularly after 2013's disappointment, great blow at the beginning of the season, they'll be very keen to have Tor Moor absolutely spot on. Wouldn't you think so, Mick?
I couldn't agree more.
Okay, Tor Moor has currently got a quote of 8-1 for the 2,000 guineas next year. Kingman, the 4-1 favourite. Australia, 6-1, second favourite. Tor Moor and Walkerman, both 8s. And 10-1 for Kingston Hill. 12-1 or bigger price as the rest. But the classics are quite a way away. So we'll move on to the third question. Apart from Kingston Hill, who has impressed you most over the last few days?
Well, two horses, really, Mark. One on the flat, and well, they were both actually on the flat, but the second one is going to go over hurdles fairly shortly. I was very impressed with Knight of Thunder, Richard Tannen's horse at Doncaster. I thought this horse really lengthened and quickened on the ground impressively, and he is splendidly bred, and he's by Dubawi. He's out of a Galileo mare. There should be no problem in staying the trip. He's actually in the guineas, but I wouldn't necessarily think he's going to be the stables top-notch one for that. Tor Moor hopefully will be, but this looked a really nice young horse. I thought he'd improve a lot.
Yeah, he could well turn out to be maybe an Irish guineas or even French guineas prospect. He certainly looks like a group horse, doesn't he?
He certainly does, Mick. I mean, he travelled well, they accelerated extremely well. And one must always remember, again, the ground was really pretty deep even then. And it was, I thought, a very good, keen performance and surely a horse to follow.
OK. Can Olympic Glory spoil Wisedon's party in the Breeders' Cup Mile?
Yes, I'm a great supporter of Olympic Glory. I thought he'd win at Ascot on Champions Day and was delighted with the way he did so, even more so because the great king of the paddock, Kit Pitterson, Ken Pitterson, actually said he didn't look particularly well and he didn't fancy him at all on looks. And I'd been pretty confident before that Olympic Glory would go well in that race, so I was delighted to see him prove the case and justify support. I had been following this horse ever since he'd run so well in the pre-Jack Marwara Deauville. I think that was a key race, and although Moonlight Cloud won it, Olympic Glory was cutting him back with every stride. Lightly raced, I think he's got a very, very decent chance.
Yep. Yeah, he's got a great chance. He's currently 7-2 second favourite as well for the race behind Wisedon.
The trouble is Wisedon's unbeaten around the Santa Anita turns, isn't he? And yeah. Just forgive him, he's run the other day. They switched the race to the Polytrack.
Yeah.
And he's very much at home around those Santa Anita turns on the turf track.
So yeah.
He's going to be very hard not to crack on his own turf.
Yeah, and I know the team are saying that Olympic Glory's come out of his race well, but it was only a few weeks ago, wasn't it? And then to travel that far, it's not ideal, is it, you know?
I think the owner is very keen to be represented at the meeting with a live one, and he was the obvious choice. And he's had a light season, you know, it's not as if he's going there at the end of a very hard, busy season, because he hasn't had one. But he definitely is a high-class horse. It's just whether he's going to acclimatise himself to the demands of Santa Anita, which is a completely different ballgame to what he's been used to.
It is. OK, the penultimate question is, what's your most likely idea of a British or Irish winner at Santa Anita?
Well, for me, it's got to be the Fugue.
Yeah.
I think Breeders' Cup turf, again, strange environment. You never quite know what's going to happen. That's why the Breeders' Cup Festival is, you know, can be such a minefield for European contenders. But I've always been a follower of the Fugue, and I, unlike quite a number of people, did not write her off halfway through this season after a disappointing run. I thought she's come absolutely right. John Gosden's horse is in pretty good shape at the end of the season. The horse will have been out there getting acclimatised, enjoying probably a bit of sun as opposed to ourselves here today. And I think the field's got a very, very good chance. Certainly will be my top choice for a British win in Santa Anita. I also think Outstrip will go pretty well because I think he's a juvenile who is physically likely to go very well round the St. Anita turns.
Yeah, and of course you got that valuable experience of them last year, didn't you? And John Gosden, who used to train locally at St. Anita, knows what it's required to win there, and anything John sends to the Breeders' Cup's got to be respected. Would be great to see her win. She's sidestepped the arc to wait for this. And let's hope it pays off for them.
Yeah, it's been the plan, hasn't it? And yeah. She was just unlucky in running last year, really, wasn't she? She met a bit of trouble, so...
And Buick will be itching to put that right, won't
he? Yeah, he will, yeah. OK, the Fugue then there. And finally, give us one to look forward to closer to home this weekend.
Well, John Quinn has his horses in very good shape indeed. There is a juvenile hurdle at Wetherby and Innsbrook, which we have known quite a bit about here in the studio over the past couple of months, are almost certain to run in that particular race. Now, Innsbruck was a bit of a surprise. Sean Quinn had always said that father thought Innsbruck would go really well as a maiden, but 50-1 success, first time out of Ponte, a victory achieved with tremendous professionalism. Kept to the inside throughout, quickened nicely inside the final furlong, won cosily. Has been sold, I would imagine, quite profitably since then. Mm. Always going to be considered as a hurdler. We know the Quins are marvellous at producing juvenile hurdlers. Innsbruck has been entered several times. It looked as though it was going to run at Aintree, didn't, presumably because of the ground. Down to run at Bangor, didn't. I think he probably will go to Wetherby. If he does, I would expect a really good run from Innsbruck. And on the subject of Quinn hurdles, what a great ride Oisin Murphy gave Cashmere Peak at Doncaster, and that surely will be winning over hurdles in a fairly short time.
Okay.
And just on that point, not so much for the weekend, but maybe just a bit further down the road, two horses who fought out the finish of the bumper at Aintree yesterday, Deadly Sting and Bally Braze, they went 38 lengths clear of the third horse. 38 lengths clear of the third.
Amazing,
in a matter of in a matter of strides. There was only a head between them at the line. And, well, they both look... Well, Deadly Sting apparently is going straight hurdling. Bally Braze is staying for the bumper route for now.
Yeah.
He's sure to win next... next time.
It was another great ride by McCoy, wasn't it, on Deadly Sting as well?
Just they gave him that little nudge, didn't he, just to put him off his stride close home. Yeah. So, and that's made all the difference. But yeah, they're two horses to definitely keep on the right side. And in the riding department, John and I were talking about this off air, young Kit Alexander's improving leaps and bounds, and he's well worth his seven. Maybe not so much against the professionals, though he did show that he wasn't fazed by them at Aintree over the weekend, but in amateur riders' races up the north with his £7 in hand, and he's still got plenty to go before he loses it, he's going to be a man to be reckoned with, John, because he can only improve from where he is now, can't he?
Absolutely right, Mick. He's a very promising young
rider. Lucy's younger brother, of course.
Yes, and Lucy's younger brother, he's been schooled throughout his teenage time, and I think he's sure to make an impression. But on jockeys, fabulous McCoy.
Oh, you can't.
Absolutely unbelievable. I was at Carlisle when he had five winners. You know, it's not so much the strength and the power, but where others were falling apart, he was always there. And if the horse is there over the last two obstacles, then McCoy will almost certainly
And he won
be
two of those Carlisle horses. He hardly jumped a fence properly.
Absolutely right.
Which is Carlisle.
Two-check didn't.
It's a double whammy at Carlisle. You lose ground at fences at Carlisle, you're up, going downhill, going uphill. And it's so difficult to get back on an even keel, and he's a magician, McCoy.
Absolute magician, you're quite right, Mick.
He is, and he's not too far away from 4,000 winners now as well, so that could be coming up in the next few weeks. But what we need to do now is we need to look ahead to Tuesday's racing. We have three races at... Hang on a second, somebody's dialing in. Please stop calling us. Right, on to Catterick we go. The first race you picked out there, Mick, is the 320...
The 120, man.
And they won 20, rather. That's correct. Yes. Yes. Throwing me completely off kilter. It's Division 1 of this handicap over 5 furlongs, or nearly 6 furlongs. And there's a horse in here that I thought I came so close to having a 16-1 winning nap with last week. Italian Tom. You were quite sweet on him on podcast, Mick.
We were, and I think he's the answer to this. Mark has retained his, or regained his form even, the last twice with the soft ground. It's coincided with his return to the soft ground, and he's got it again on Tuesday. He was only denied by a short head at Yarmouth 6 days ago by the well-handicapped Tuesday. Cost us both a bit of money, I know that. Yeah. And off this same mark, £5 lower than his last win, he's going to take some stopping. Couple of likely dangers, one of them being Sunny Side Up, represents Richard Fahey and Tony Hamilton. She's another who's returned to form of late, has won off higher in the past, so rates a danger, especially if she can recapture the form she showed in Midsummer 2012 when she rattled off a three-timer in the space of 3 weeks. The lightly raced three-year-old Fat Gary, he's another one who is worthy of respect. Stephen Crane riding for Tom Dascombe. He struggled in marks in the 80s after his consistent two-year-old season, but took advantage of a drop into the 70s to win at Wolverhampton last time off 75, beating Bog Snog by a head. Up £3 for that, but with soft ground, not a problem. As a last-time-out winner in form, he's got to be respected. But Italian Tom gets the vote to make up for that Yarmouth heartbreak.
Okay, Italian Tom then, we'll go with him again in the 120 at Catterick.
Absolutely.
On to the 150 at Catterick then. This is Division 2 of this handicap over 6 furlongs. Mick, which ones have caught your eye here?
Well, last year's winner is a good starting point. £500 million. He won this in similar conditions 12 months ago from a £4 lower mark and looks set for another bold bid. He bounced back from a lacklustre run in the Air Bronze Cup. Basically, that was just down to where he was drawn. He landed a coffin box draw low and never got involved, and he, as I say, bounced back from that to finish a close fourth of 12 behind at Walster Schifani. And now I think the key thing is this horse. He can front run, as he showed at Doncaster in May, and if the same tactics are applied here from his good draw, he could well take some catching. And it's worth noting, Mark, that this race last year was much stronger than this one, inasmuch as that the runner-up that day was no less than Ashpan Sam, who is now rated in the 90s.
Yeah.
Dangers, Kelman rarely encounters very soft ground, but is very effective on it, as he showed when running Aetna to a neck at Doncaster in March, and Aetna is now rated in the high 80s. Tony Hamilton knows him well and replaces the £5 claimer, George Chaloner, and he could represent the value in a very tricky contest. It's hard to get away from £500 million. He may just get overbet, may not. But I think if the prices were right, I'd have both of those batting for me.
Yeah, I've both them on your side, Mick.
Yeah.
On to the final race that we're going to look at then, the 220 at Catterick. This is a class 4 handicap over 7 furlongs, and quite a competitive
It is very competitive. Mona Cover's the obvious starting point. She rattled off a hat-trick in August that saw a rating rise from 65 to 83, and it did look at Hamilton in a bid for the 4-timer as if the new mark was beyond her. But typically, for one of David O'Mara's, she shrugged that off with a fine second of 19 at York behind Dusky Queen. A further £2 rise for that good run complicates things a little more, meaning that she's now £9 higher than her last win, but she does still set the standard for me. Dangers, Llewellyn is in good vein of form at the moment, ran showboating close over course and distance on heavy ground last time, and Adrian Nichols takes over from a £7 claimer. He landed quite a touch of air the time before, suggesting that connections feel they've got him spot on. Showboating, who reopposes with Llewellyn, is £4 higher for that course and distance when we just touched on over Personal Touch and Llewellyn, taking him into the 80s. But he has gone very close in the past off 79, and his liking for the ground and the track count for a lot, and he could well land his fourth win of the season. So I'm going to make showboating the selection in the 220.
Okay, showboating there. Then, as always, Mick, let's just have a little bit of a summary of your thoughts and for Catterick on Tuesday.
Yes, I'm hoping Italian Tom can make amends for Yarmouth in the 120. I'm going to have two running for me in the 150. It should be a good open betting race. Half a billion I won this 12 months ago, and Kelman. They should be both there or thereabouts. And in the 220, the 7 furlong handicap, I like the look of the in-form showboating.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much to you, Mick, and thank you to you, John, for the Monday jury as well. Should be a good day of racing to look forward to on Tuesday. Hope you both enjoy it.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.